If the parents have a successful marriage, and the word successful marriage means a lot here. That's number one, what is Islam in our life?
So this gender roles discussion or debate, I should say misunderstanding, creates a lot of confusion when it comes to marriages and then parenting.
The husband has a role to do, but he has the qawama. And the qawama doesn't mean dominance. It means that he should be part of the parenting and tarbiyah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. We are live once again with a new episode of the Tarbiyah Project podcast. Today is a very special day for our initiative, our project. We are extremely delighted to have a guest live with us at the studio, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We will introduce him shortly, for he is someone that is near and dear to our hearts here in our home. To me personally, and to our community at large. And so this really marks a milestone in many ways for our small effort, inshallah, in the Islamic parenting world. And thank you to all those out there that have been following, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So with that said, inshallah, I'm excited to introduce, actually, Imam Muhammad Jibali, who is with us today, alhamdulillah. So we'll start backwards. I want to make sure that we introduce him properly. But before that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. It is an honor, it is a privilege, may Allah preserve you and protect you always, that you are here with us on our set, and inshallah to share some of your very, very real experiences with, in particularly family law, and that's where I know a lot of our people want to hear about what's going on in the community. So with that said, if you give me permission, I want to share a few things about you, inshallah ta'ala, that I think the community and those who are listening will benefit from. Inshallah, we'll go from there. So, Sheikh Najib Ali, my first, actually, meeting with Sheikh Jibali was, I remember, in 2021. I was new to McKinney, in fact, somewhere around 2021. Had moved from New Jersey, and the biggest smiling face that I saw in our masjid, alhamdulillah, continues to this day. He is the heart, the throbbing heart of the McKinney community, and so that will forever remain my very personal memory of meeting Sheikh Jibali for the first time. So, who is Imam Jibali? Imam Jibali, mashallah, is an Al-Azhar graduate from Egypt. Mashallah, his specialization is in family law and the fiqh matters surrounding that. He has a number of leadership positions. Most notably, he serves on the AMJA, which is the American Muslim Jurist Association, their fatwa hotline, particularly with cases to do with family and family law. And he's also the director of the Islamic Tribunal of Dallas. Mashallah, he is leading that. And also, like I said, a imam with our local community. And he's also taught family law with Mishkeh University in the past as well. So clearly, we have someone who's well qualified to be here with us today. Sheikh, did I miss anything from your resume?
Jazakallah for this nice introduction. Asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the decision successful and beneficial in the last.
Ameen, Ya Rab, Ameen. So, Sheikh, let's start something to just set the tone and have a little fun on the podcast. Maybe if you can share a fun fact about yourself. You're a very fun guy. We know that. Mashallah, you love kids. The kids love you. In fact, I think everyone loves you, mashallah. But what is one thing that the world does not know about Muhammad Al-Jibali that you've never shared before that you can share now, inshallah?
So I will share some that not many people know about me, that after I graduated from Islamic Studies in English, I didn't find a job. So I applied for a diploma in archaeology and in tourism. And I got the license to be a tourist guide.
SubhanAllah.
And I worked as a tourist guide for like a couple of years.
In Egypt,
yes.
So you were a certified
tourist guide, English tourist guide.
Allahu Akbar.
And also I speak also some Germans. I used to.
I think our podcast will change today a little bit. No, subhanAllah.
So there's not many people know about this. It's a different career. I learned from it a lot. But
so Cairo only or other parts of Egypt?
Yeah, I don't know. I had the option to be in Luxor, to be in Alexandria, but I had other jobs. So that's why, I was like using it as a part-time, like one day touring, you know, trips. This is what I used. So I was specialized in Egypt, you know, taking the tourists to the most important monument in Egypt, the pyramids.
Yes.
The Egyptian Museum, Old Egypt, so Saqqara. So you got to
travel because of work.
Because I used to have also another job, which was the tourism. Religious tourism, so I used to take people also to Hajj and Umrah. So I keep the two jobs at the same time. If I use back-to-back trips and tourism touring, so this means that I would be absent for at least 1 week, two weeks, and I will be busy all the time.
Yes.
I try just to keep it in the middle, just working only in Cairo for 2 years.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I had other jobs. And subhanAllah, this was the best decision because I applied for Al-Awqaf endowments to be an imam. If I work like a full-time tourist guide and travel with tourists, you know, to Luxor and to have files from back to back, I think I wouldn't have time to apply for Al-Awqaf.
But subhanAllah.
Yani, by having such type of job, alhamdulillah, I was able to apply for Al-Awqaf. And then I have been chosen to be the first imam to the United States in 2002.
MashaAllah. Okay.
This was, alhamdulillah, something I didn't search for it. But Allah chose me to be the first imam sent by the Egyptian government as a resident imam, not just an imam who come as a qari for Ramadan, as Egypt used to send. As the first imam who were seconded for 3 years to be an imam in the United States.
So now, when we know you're traveling for 1 week and you're going somewhere, you're tour guiding. Now we know Imam Jumani has an agency on the side. Yeah.
So each job you learn from.
Alhamdulillah. Well, I actually never knew that before.
This is something new.
Alhamdulillah.
Exclusively.
This is something that everyone finds out at the same time as I did. MashaAllah. So with that said, Imam Jumani, you bring a very unique blend, mashallah, into the imam role. I think most people have local imams in their masajid and so on and so forth. Imams are asked to play a very heavy role in their communities. They're everything. They're psychologists, counselors, therapists, coaches. They're leading salah. And they're asked to do the jobs of five people at the salary of one, yeah? So this is not new to you. But I think it's very rare to find an imam who carries that weight and that burden with so much, mashallah, the qualifications and the ability to bring knowledge and wisdom together. So alhamdulillah, we've seen that with you. Your specialization in family matters, I think, serves the community real well, and it serves the mission of the Tarbiyah Project really well, because what is parenting without marriage, and what is marriage without parenting, right? So let's start there, inshallah. If you can lay out some principles, aqaid, for us in parenting as it relates to what you usually see. So what, for example, I'm going to throw a question at you. What is the link between a strong marriage and strong parenting, tarbiyah? And maybe even just from a Quranic perspective, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approach the concept of tarbiyah for us to start with? Bismillah.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. First of all, we want to know the importance of the family, and as a result, the importance and the virtue of parenting. So they are so connected to each other, and the successful marriage will lead to a successful parenting by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are some exceptions, and we have this in the Quran, in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did a good job. He is one of the ulul azm, one of the messengers, the first messenger. But despite of that, he was not able to convince one of his sons to Islam. Mm-hmm. But mostly from the experience and from istiqra, what we see in Quran and Sunnah, if the parents have a successful marriage, and the word successful marriage means a lot here. That number one, what is Islam in our life? Mm-hmm. Yes, we can follow the modern techniques that will keep the family happy, But are we practicing the deen or not? Are we practicing the deen in the right format or not? Are we following the right aqidah or not?
Mm.
Because I think this is number one.
Mm.
Because we don't like to have a shaky offspring. What I really remember in this regard, Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam, in his deathbed, while he's dying, what did he say? قال ما تعبدون من بعدي. So imagine this, because we read it a lot. But a person in his deathbed, now he's dying. So now he's caring for himself. But don't know, he's worried about the offspring. He's worrying about their deen. So how do we refer to Allah Azza wa Jal in our life for our kids, not only by teaching our kids books of aqidah, but you know how the parents have such type of a strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do they deal with the disasters? How do they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we have such type of strong aqidah in the house as one of the tools for the successful marriage, and add to this the practice of the deen. How can we have a good parenting while we are not practicing the deen? Yes, we have aqidah, which is something that we have in our heart. We connect ourselves and our kids to this aqidah and belief and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we practice the deen. Because without practicing the deen, then it is like we are watering the plant, the plastic plant. This is not going to be a successful parenting at all, because now it's based on a fake foundation. So the aqidah, the practice of the deen, and by default the good example.
Yes.
The good example. The good example is a must.
Yes.
Having such three tips, three practices, so now we can say that this is, alhamdulillah, a successful and a strong marriage. And add to this, one of these tips that form the four requirement for the strong marriage, securing the good environment. How to secure a good environment? You can do a lot at home,
yes,
but now you are wasting all of that by, leaving your kids for unhealthy or a toxic environment. What you are doing and building at home will be destroyed, because our kids, they listen to their colleagues, they listen to their friends, they open their hearts for their friends, whether they are boys and girls. So if they do not have the good company, the good environment outside, so we are wasting our efforts.
Yes,
no, we are just, not using all what we should use to secure our kids. So I think from my perspective that those are four elements and requirements for the strong marriage that inshallah by default will lead to a successful parenting, will lead to a successful and a righteous offspring.
Yes.
But at the same time, we should remember everything should be accompanied before, within, and after with the dua.
Yes.
Because our dua for our kids, inshallah, will be answered. And we should know also, even with this, if Allah decrees something, some of what Allah has decreed, we cannot change it.
Yes, yes.
So, but at least in front of Allah, we say, Ya Rab, we secured a good environment. We planted and inculcated in our kids, in our heart, in their hearts, the love of Allah and the aqidah. We practiced the deen in front of them. We were a good example, and we secured a good environment. Ya Rab, we did our part.
So let me, barakallahu fiqh. So let me ask you maybe a spicy question, inshallah, because we live in a world where there are in the definition of successful, or a model home or marriage, people will say, I can be a type A, type B, type C, and still be in that model. What do I mean? There are, for examples, alhamdulillah, communities that are very, very traditional in the sense that they have, you know, the father as the sole provider, let's say, and the mother is stay at home. Then you have families who choose that both parents are working, right? They're bringing in income. And then you have families, يعني, that are, you know, the father is actually home and the mother is choosing to work. I mean, this is, again, these are all different types of models that exist, yeah? Within that, I think the debate then becomes gender roles, yeah? And then you start, you know, if this is happening in the Muslim community, يعني, this is our homes and people's homes that are listening. And the wife starts to argue with the husband, or the husband starts to debate with the wife on, this is my role. So let me paint a picture. For example, the husband will stick to a definition that he has grown up with, let's say, that he's seen his father or his grandfather, whoever, bring in the paycheck, and khalas, that's it. I'm not touching a single dish in the kitchen, and I'm not changing a single diaper, because that's not what I do as a man. On the flip side, the wife has a completely flip understanding of, you know, I can... your money and every down to the last penny I can spend because it's my wife, my right as a wife, and forget your parents, forget this and that. Yeah. So this gender roles discussion or debate, I should say misunderstanding, creates a lot of confusion when it comes to marriages and then parenting, because the children are seeing this is the type of dad, this is the type of mother, and then the sons and the daughters adopt that and then carry it forward. So what do you see in your practice as an imam where we are lacking in gender role understanding? It's a heavy question, so take your time. Exactly. Bismillah.
So I like first to answer any question with Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. So Allah will open for us, Alhamdulillah, the hearts, and Allah will grant us the tentative listeners, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, I didn't read the questions because I want to talk from my heart.
Inshallah.
And I'm such type of person who doesn't like to prepare a lot. But I'm just talking what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then from what I see as a person who receives every day questions about parenting, about family issues, and unfortunately about divorce. The point that Brother Tah asked now, I think, is mainly related to the cultural inheritance and heritage that we have. Brother Tah mentioned two extremes. Now, the role of the genders now is different. The wife, her first job is to stay in the house. And this will take us. Is she allowed to work? Yes. If there is a necessity, if there is a need. But the job that Allah chose for her, which is a job for the hereafter, is a job that will bring a lot of hasanat for her every day, that Rasulullah described it in this wonderful phrase, husnu taba'ul, to be a good wife. A good wife means to be a good wife for her husband, and to be a good mother, and to be a person who teaches the kids, and as we mentioned, practice the deen, inculcates the aqidah in their hearts, be a good example, do a lot and a lot of things that will benefit her kids. And there is no contradiction to benefit the community as well by sharing her experience. Some of the sisters, mashallah, we need our sister to be well-educated. Mm-hmm. We need our sister to talk to non-Muslims. What is the problem? This doesn't contradict with the teachings of Islam at all. So Brother Tah mentioned two extremes. Now the wife is working and the husband at home. What is al-qawama now? The leadership. And now the other and the second extreme, that the husband does not work and just he's like ATM machine and he's the one who pays the check every day.
Yes.
And every week or every other week or every month, and this is his job. But let us get back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we have Rasulullah in his life. That's why the subhanallah, Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrated a lot of details that the scholars mentioned. We inherited and we learned about one fourth of the deen from Aisha radiallahu anha, because these family affairs came from Aisha and Kareem came from the other wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give time. Some of the sisters, they complain. Rasulullah, don't say I'm busy. I'm working day and night. Rasulullah is the busiest person in the world. He was the busiest person in the world. And he gave time. He used to take them with him to expedition. Can you imagine this? He used to give time. Actually, the narration says, if the wives of the Prophet knew that his time is, you know, and his night is with Aisha, they would gather at the same, you know, house and the same room of Aisha radiallahu anha. So he spent time with all of his wives at the same time. Can you imagine? So what I want to say, they always say in Arabic a good and a wonderful proverb, كلا طرفي الأمر مذموم. So to go to the two extremes or one of the extremes is not something hateful. It's not going to achieve any benefit at all. So yes, the husband has a role to do, but he has the qawama. And the qawama doesn't mean dominance. It means that he should be part of the parenting and tarbiyah. And the wife also, she's the one who stays with the kids for a long time. She has a strong role to play. You know, because, you know, look at the our history. The heroes like Muhammad al-Fatih, like Shafi'i, like Ahmad ibn Hanbal, like Ibn Taymiyyah. They were raised by women, and they are leaders.
Yes.
So that's why the mother can do a lot. But this doesn't mean that the father is doing nothing. No. He don't know if the wife is in need for help, don't know he would help. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi used to milk the sheep, used to fix for him the food. And this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam helping the wife. The wife has a lot, especially if she has young kids. So we should look at this. She has a very sacred and honorable role to do. She spends a lot of time. Give her some rest. Take your kids to the masjid. Help her, whatever she, you know, she needs, you know, anything from the husband. The husband should, you know, should help her in that. Because if we hire a nanny or a servant at home, we pay a lot. And this is the wife, the mentor, the first mentor. And the home is the first madrasa that we need to give to the sister, you know, a good time. We should award her for all her efforts. We should confess this. And the good words, subhanAllah, something that we learned from Rasulullah sallam. If you say to your wife from time to time, Jazakallahu khairan for all what you are doing for us. If the wife said to the husband, Jazakallahu khairan, the world outside is wild and you are working hard to bring for us the money. Yeah, subhanAllah, I remember the story. A real story for a man who was invited by his wife to leave his job. And it seems, wallah alam, that he was a poor person and he's a handyman, which means that going out from work for 1 or 2 hours will affect his income. So the wife invited him to accompany her to go to the doctor because one of his kids is really sick. So he was with her in the car and he was like frustrated. He was so sad because he left his job. He's not in a good mood. So the wise wife, subhanAllah, this something was witnessed by someone and he narrated this. So the husband was in a bad mood. He doesn't like what his wife did. But the wife, the wise wife, she thanked him for coming. She says, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody's taking care of us except you. And I appreciate that you left your job and you came with me, but I cannot deal with this alone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always give you the health and the barakah in your money and always to be a good supporter for us. The narrator of this story, he was watching this, he said that the man, his face, subhanAllah, it changed and he smiled and he liked that because of one word the wife did. So this is what I want to advise every husband and wife. Please try to appreciate the role of each other. Yes, as a husband, you deal with the world, which is something very tough. But the wife, imagine that you would be in the position of the wife, staying with the kids, some of our kids. I'm so sorry. Maybe Brother Ta was one of them. Sometimes we inherit some naughty genes, and we give, you know, for, you know, the kids give, you know, for their mothers a hard time. Yes. You cannot tolerate just staying with the kids for 1 hour. When you take them to the masjid, you complain, you know, I will never do it again. The wife who spends with the kids all the time.
I hear you on getting to know each other, but the Sheikh, reality is that many people are stuck in their own lenses. Yeah, so they've been raised. I'm Pakistani, right? So we see a lot of Pakistani community.
I'm Egyptian, and you say Egyptian community.
You see, you know, the Bangladeshis, the Indians, so on and so forth. And there is a very rigid definition that is passed down generation to generation. And, you know, as the saying goes, and correct me if I'm wrong, رَبُّ أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِزَمَانٍ غَيْرَ زَمَانِكُمْ. نَعَمْ سَ Raise your children for a time that is not, it's their time, it's not your time. Unfortunately, in that translation, we miss a lot, from generation to generation.
So there is a point here that
I... Yes, please, go ahead.